Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Diz Unplugged, coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, John Sicari.
Hello, everyone.
Denny Sunderly.
Hi there.
Our producer in a weird spot, Mr. Craig Williams.
Oh, oi, oi.
And I think joining us for the first time.
No.
on the live show?
I've done it, yeah.
You have done it, yeah. Okay. Well, it shows you how good my memory is. Dreams Unlimited travel agent and webmaster for cdisney.com, Mr. Federico Argar.
Hola, hola.
And, of course, back in the production nook, our associate producer, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And welcome, folks. Just a reminder, this show, along with all the content we produce, brought to you by dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And if you are planning a Disney vacation, whether that's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, I would ask you, show your support for us by booking that trip through Dreams Unlimited Travel. You'll get the service of a tremendous travel professional, and it doesn't cost you anything more than if you were to book through Disney directly. So please, dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And there's a couple other shout-outs before we get into today's show. Couple of the shout-outs I want to make. One is to my good friend Mo with fltours.com. Mo has been an advertiser on the site for
years and years
mm-hmm. and years. I don't mention him much. I don't mention him much, and I should be better about that. And I realize that when I go to Port Canaveral, go on a cruise, FL Tours is who I call. And they've been transporting me to the port for years. And so since he's a sponsor of the site, I thought I'd show him some love. If you're looking for transportation services from Orlando International Airport, from the Disney to the Disney resorts, from the Disney resorts to Port Canaveral, please, fltours.com. Tell Mo hello from me.
Real quick, side note, contributor Sherry Kessler did a review, used Mo and FL Tours when they came down for her family's recent Disney vacation, and wrote up a review and put it up on it. We put it up on the site, I think it was a week and a half ago. So good. She loved Mo. So for what it's worth.
He runs a great business.
Yep.
He runs a great business.
Wait till you go to use him, and now he's too popular.
He's always going to have time for me. He's always going to have time
for me. The day that would happen.
And I also want to give a shout-out to the concierge team at the Contemporary. Federico, Panda, and I were there yesterday. Got a room, a concierge room for 4th of July. Wanted to hang out. Enjoy the fireworks in the Magic Kingdom, although they were a little disappointing than they were in years past because they weren't doing the full
perimeter
fireworks. I don't know why they decided not to do that. From what we heard, the ones at Epcot were phenomenal.
I loved the July 3rd. I was at the Grand on July 3rd. We ate at Narcoossee's and then watched the fireworks, and they were majestic. I enjoyed it.
I mean, look, it's an impressive fireworks show by any means.
Amazing, yeah.
But the last time I watched the Magic Kingdom fireworks were back in 2019, mm-hmm. and that one they had the perimeter fireworks, so you're getting that whole 180-degree experience, and we were up at the top of the World Lounge watching it, and you get this beautiful view from up there. Mm-hmm. But from what I hear, Epcot won the night with fireworks.
I mean, I always tell people there's nothing wrong with Magic Kingdom's fireworks on the 4th of July. It is a perfectly fine, acceptable show. You know, it hits all the right notes. The fireworks are impressive. But if you're going to see 4th of July fireworks, please don't do this in the future, because if you ever take away my spot, I'll be very angry. You just go see the fireworks at Magic Kingdom on the 3rd and then go to Epcot on the 4th. You know, they haven't had the 4th of July tag at Epcot since 2019, because first it was Epcot Forever causing issues, and then Harmonious. It just was like, what are they actually going to do? And then the pandemic in there, too. They brought back the Heartbeat of Freedom tag this year, and it was... It literally utilized the screens from Harmonious as well, too. So that way they're putting American flags on there, other visuals. Okay. But then it was the same massive unload of fireworks at the end, like it is for New Year's, like it is during when they used to do the holiday tag for Illuminations. I mean, your heart stops because you are just getting pummeled with fireworks. Not in, again, Magic Kingdoms aren't bad. But if you haven't experienced a fireworks tag at Epcot, literally, it is life-changing. You will... It reminds me of the scene in Coneheads where, like, they light off the firework and it's like a sonic boom that
amazing
goes off.
Amazing reference.
Yeah, listen, I'm always going to be here for the mid-90s movies references when I can be. But it's like, it's just, you have to feel it to understand it. So Epcot, always, always the way to go. See Magic Kingdoms on the 3rd and do it that way. But you know what? If you insist on the 4th, have fun. It's just, it's not the same for me.
Well, there you have it. But as I was saying, the concierge team up at the Contemporary was absolutely spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. And they back in October, they completely redid that lounge.
Oh, wow.
And the whole floor has this mid-century modern vibe, which I love.
That's great.
And it was absolutely gorgeous. Ridiculously expensive. Concierge at the Contemporary. 4th of July. But worth every penny. I'm excited for tonight and tomorrow because I'm taking my mom to the Grand Floridian. And we're not going to redo...
Is this the grand return?
Well, not exactly. Not exactly. Okay. We're not going to redo that. I wanted her... Because, you know, anytime we mention the Grand Floridian, you know, she gets that look on her face that she was so disappointed. And I'm like, I need to do something to give her the experience she wanted. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't know this yet. She just thinks we've got a room. She's got the Disney suite. And concierge. Wow.
Is she watching right now?
She might be, actually. Either that or she's getting ready because I'm picking her up after the show. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. We're there for a couple of nights tonight and tomorrow night. And I also want to remind everyone our Patreon after show. You're not going to want to miss it this week because we are going to be talking about our experience on the Wish, the christening cruise of the Wish. Not something I'll review for a wider audience. I won't even review it for Patreon because we didn't pay for it. But I will talk about it and we will take your questions. So stay tuned if you're a Patreon supporter right after this show for that. If you're not a Patreon supporter, you can hurry up and join. Patreon.com/DizUnplugged is where you can sign up.
Can I mention one quick thing
we have
a DizCon update.
We have a big DizCon
update. We have a very big DizCon update. thank you. Breaking news. Yes. This just in. Yes. There's been a switcheroo with the Epcot After Hours Party, which is happening on October 1st from 10:30 until 12:30 in Epcot now. It will no longer be centered around getting to ride Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. Although Remy's is a lovely, adorable attraction, we are going to have a Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind-focused after-hours party. So excited. We're going to be in World Discovery. We're going to get to ride Test Track and Mission Space and Guardians. We're going to have character meet-and-greets and a DJ playing and special desserts. It's going to be amazing. So if you want to check out the details, head to gktw.org/DizCon, DISCON. You'll find all of the details in there, including, and I'll say it now just in case you're wondering, ticket price is $199.99. $80 of that is a direct tax-deductible donation to the Village. All of this, DizCon, after-hours party, all to raise funds for Give Kids the World Village. So we get to ride Guardians on Epcot's 40th anniversary. Super psyched about that.
I think we should commission shirts that say on it, I threw up after riding Guardians of the Galaxy at the Give Kids the World BizCon after party. Yes. I know it's a lot of text for one shirt.
No, I think it's perfect.
But it's, you know, someone's going to buy it. So someone's getting sick.
I barfed on Epcot's 40th. Yay.
No, so, yeah, there's a shirt.
But it'd have to say there's Give Kids the World
yes,
on it.
Yes, for Give
yeah,
Kids the World.
For Give Kids. I threw up for Give Kids the World.
It's perfect.
Now,
perfect.
You get a chance to see how these things happen. And you know someone's showing up at this party now with a shirt.
Oh, we could only hope. I mean, manifestation right here.
And I'll ride with them.
There you go. So, absolutely.
It'll be a memory.
I barfed on Craig on Epcot's 40th.
Oh, no.
Now, I'll pay money for that. I'll pay money for that.
You can throw up on Craig. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, more and more good news keeps coming out about DisCon. As time goes on, the team at Give Kids the World working really, really hard. Okay. And, of course, Denny leaving us to go join the team over at Give Kids the World. So she's not really leaving. She's just kind of switching roles.
Exactly. I'm moving next door, but we're still on the same street.
Right. Exactly.
So that's all it is.
Exactly. That's all. Exactly.
So thank you so much.
Will this be your last show?
I think so. Yes, because I am on The Wish with Jackie.
That's
next
right.
Next week. We are so looking forward to that. And I've already taken notes from Rhino and Craig today about what to eat on the ship. So these are the important things, most important to me. But I will be taking notes during the Patreon show as well.
And while I'm not reviewing the christening cruise, I will be reviewing The Maiden Voyage, which departs July 14th. Mm-hmm. That's a 5-night sailing. So I will be doing vlogs and reviews from the ship while we're on it. And then I will be doing a full-on show for everyone, not just Patreon, afterwards giving you my unbridled thoughts. And I'll be honest, not all my comments on The Wish are positive. That's the most I'm going to give you. That's the most I'm going to give you. There are many that are. There are many things that are positive. Mm-hmm. But there are things that I'm not a fan of. But you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. If you're not a Patreon supporter, you're going to have to wait until I get back from the maiden voyage.
Yeah. Jackie and I are looking forward to it. Cinderella is her very, very favorite. And so, and all things pixie dust. So we are very much looking forward to what our experience is. But real quick, want to take a moment just to thank you for this experience and getting to be here at this table and be a part of this team. It, like I said to you on the phone when I called you and we talked, this is a dream I didn't know I could dream. Aww. To get to be a part of this team. So thank you a million kajillion thanks for
the opportunity. It has truly been my pleasure.
Thank you.
It has truly been my pleasure. You've been an amazing addition to the team. I'm sad to see you go, but going to Give Kids the World, knowing the role that you're going into, how perfect you will be for that role.
I appreciate it.
Couldn't be happier for you.
Thanks.
What?
I thought of another. I've been trying to tease Denny with bad ways to send her out, and so my new one I like is, what's been your dream has been the rest of our nightmare. We'll see you later.
I love that.
Wow.
These are deep thoughts with Craig Williams.
Yeah,
That's what this is. I love that.
So, all right, enough banter. Let's talk about the sad news story that came out late last week, that the Walt Disney Company Board of Directors voted to extend Dr. Evil's contract for another 3 years. We're stuck with this clown. It was a unanimous vote to extend Bob Chapek's contract as CEO for an additional 3 years. And this was met with the very expected response from the fan community. No one is happy about it. the fact that it was unanimous, the fact it was 3 years. Now, we'd heard rumors that the board was going to do this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So this was not necessarily a surprise. But all I can say is that my hopes are contracts can be broken.
They can, but as I sat here when we were talking about just conjecturing on will he, won't he be re-upped or not, I sat here and said if he's making money for the company, he's going to be sticking around. And I think that's the case. I think he is just overall just making money. So we know that from the earnings calls, from everything that we're hearing. He is very direct-to-consumer, the way he salivates when he talks about the direct-to-consumer arm of the company. Like, he's making money for them. But yes, you're exactly right. There was a weeping and gnashing of teeth immediately from the Diz community.
I really thought the stock was going to say more to whether he would. I didn't see it coming. I thought he wasn't getting renewed. Mm. I'm kind of shocked. Mm. I thought the stock was going to dictate that, gotta go.
Yeah. Well, he's gone. He's
renewed.
He's going to be our
he's
refurbished.
We're stuck with him.
Yeah.
At least for the foreseeable future.
Settle in.
Who do you think, though? This is my concern. Anybody that appears to be a potential successor to him, he gets rid of. Who do you think? And that makes me think that Josh DeMauro, I don't think Josh, in the place he's in right now, is seen as a successor. The fact that he still has a job means that he's not seen as a successor. What will signal that he is if he gets moved over from Parks and Resorts to the studio to consumer products to one of those other areas where you have to have that requisite experience. Take a look at, this is what Disney does. Josh started out as Senior Vice President of Adventures by Disney. Moved on to be General Manager of Animal Kingdom. Moved on to be Senior Vice President of Resorts for Walt Disney World. Went to be Consumer Products for Florida. Mm-hmm. Went to be President of Disneyland, went to be President of Disney World, then became, what's his exact title? He's,
I want to say,
Chairman Disney Parks and Resorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no.
And Signature mm-hmm. Experiences.
Yeah.
That is, I'm looking at his Instagram
Parks
right now.
Resorts.
Chairman Disney Parks Experience and Products.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they start moving him around to other divisions, not related to the parks, not related to consumer products, I guess, because he's already got it on his resume. They start moving because you can't run Disney if you don't know the studio. So I think if Josh is to be the chosen one to succeed this clown,
To bring balance back to the force.
Expect to see him move over to the studio side.
Yeah, I mean, the hard part though is they've obviously said many times throughout the years now since Disney Plus has launched that direct to consumer is the goal of the company. Mm-hmm. More, I mean, parks and resorts obviously is important, but direct to consumer. We hear it over and over and over again. And so while I could see them trying to dabble Josh in the studio in some sort of capacity, I can't see them ever being like, hey, if we want to move you forward, you're going to have to like really get in on Disney Plus and everything happening with their direct-to-consumer market, because it is just so completely different. You know, before it was throwing a little merchandise, a little bit of studio, a little bit of parks, boom, you've got it. But it's just so different now. And I think that whoever is the future, if someone is going to replace JPEG, I think it's going to come from that line. Hence, the guy from Fox that was unceremoniously shown the door, that was someone that, yeah, he probably was afraid of him being a successor one day, so get rid of him in that way. But I still think it's always going to come from that line. That's where Disney's seen stars and seen dollar signs in their eyes right now. So I think Josh is a great figurehead, the way on the Wish that he was all around making sure that everyone there saw him, like, constantly. I think that's, Disney needs someone like that, that's there to smile. And I know he's more than just a pretty face, and he can do a lot more than that, but I think that is what they need, considering so many people.
Josh is a star. Josh is a star. And he engages a room just by walking into it. We saw that in any, as you pointed out, in any number of places on the Wish. But, you know, it was telling as I walked up to him when I first saw him and went up, gave him a hug, and said, "How you doing?" And his face just kind of went, You know, he's got a tough job. He's got a tough job. But then he, when he started talking about the Wish, he lit up. When he started talking about the ship, he really lit up. But, you know, he said to me, he goes, "My staff tells me you don't like me anymore." I said, "I love you, Josh, but I'm going to give you a hard time, and I'm going to tell you the same things I would tell anybody about what I think about where the parks are. I love you to death. I know you're a good man. I know you're a good man. I just don't like what's happening at the parks right now, and that's happening on your watch." And he goes, "We'll have coffee," which we never did. But, you know, and that's the God's honest truth. So don't think that I say something different to Josh when I talk to him than from what I say here. It's not. There's one story, and I stick to it. Because it's what I feel, but I respect Josh enough. And Josh is also, I don't say man enough, but executive enough, good enough of an executive to listen to it. Listen to it. Doesn't mean it's going to change anything.
He's a good leader.
He's a very good leader.
People can tell from cast members.
Cast members love him.
Oh, absolutely.
Cast members love him, and for good reason. You know, there was I was hearing somebody talk about a few weeks ago. He was dressed way down, didn't have his entourage with him, walking around the Magic Kingdom.
So based on the logic that we're talking about, if Josh does look like he's getting groomed to be the successor, Chapek would fire him then. How would that go over to you?
That would be a sad day.
Right? But it could happen.
Unless Chapek picks him.
To be his successor?
Yeah, that's what Iger did. That's what Iger did with Chapek. Picked him to be his successor. That was the guy he wanted. I think he regrets it now. Given the relationship the two of them have, I think he regrets it now. But nonetheless, that's what to watch for. If it's Josh, if Josh is on that path. But if he's not on that path, and I have said this from the time I first met him, the man is going to run for governor of California. He's going to. I've told him this many times. I predicted he would become chairman of Parks and Resorts, and the day he got that job, he called me. Or the day they announced it, he called me. He goes, "Oh, you were right." I'm like, "I'm right about the other thing too." He's like, no, I'm never going to do that. But you mark my words. He's got that X factor. He's got that X factor. He would make an incredible politician. Incredible politician. So, look what he has to navigate now. Look at the waters he has to navigate now. So,
yeah. It's tough. You know, his specific leadership style is very friendly, open to hearing ideas. Obviously, there's probably not a lot that he can do in some situations that he would want to do. But it's, you know, the only thing I kind of hate about the situation, because I like him as a person too, like, he was running on Castaway Key while we were on there. Like, obviously it's 95 degrees on Castaway Key, completely miserable. This guy's out running around just like, you know, gotta stay fit, gotta always look the part and just waving at people and like just so down to earth in that way. But right now it almost feels like the parks need a different leadership style, someone who's probably a lot more ruthless. You know, I'm not saying like someone like my personality that's completely droll and
but ruthless for who? Ruthless for the fans and the guest experience, or ruthless for the bottom line? Because right now the company's run by somebody who is ruthless for the bottom line.
I think for the fans and such, someone who is going to say, you know what, my future here might not be long, but you know what, there's also other companies out there that maybe they see how I act, then I still have a future ahead of me. Maybe it's not all Disney, but you know, people want to stay in Disney. I mean, that's a given. I mean, that's what I would want to do. When I was a cast member, it's like, oh, there is nothing else but Disney. You start at Disney, you work for Disney, you die with Disney, and that is the way to be. But that didn't happen. Disney didn't want me.
Oh,
it's okay.
Craig.
It worked out.
I wanted you, Craig. I wanted you.
It's all good.
Not at first, but...
Yeah. But here, not here at first. Are,
that's true. That's true. It took some warming up.
You got me.
It took some warming up. I'm glad I got you.
No, thank
you. I'm glad I got
you. Thank you.
And you're not leaving me to go somewhere else.
I'm not, no.
Unlike someone else at the table.
Sorry.
Oh, come on. I can't let you go without a little guilt.
That's fine. Feel free. I got broad shoulders.
A little bit of guilt.
It's all good.
So what else we want to talk about?
I think that we obviously need to talk about details with Princess and the Frog, because that was big news while we were on the cruise, so it kind of got lost on us in that way, because we were busy with the Wish. But back home, I know a lot of people were talking about it, because we have the updated details on Princess and the Frog taking over Splash Mountain. It will be in 2024 at Walt Disney World and Disneyland, that guests will be able to go on Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And that is news that came out when they were at Essence Fest in New Orleans. And they said it's going to be late 2024. But it was described as the attraction being a love letter to New Orleans. Like the musical city that inspired the attraction, Tiana's second act is about a community working in harmony to achieve something extraordinary. She reminds us of an immutable truth we can all relate to. If you do your best each and every day, good things are sure to come your way. And that's a melody we can all sing along to. And Jackie did not write that. It was actually... That was by Charita Carter. So not Jackie. I know we all want to blame her for that. But I think it's... you know, I'm actually shocked by this timeline. I know it's something... It was possible that they could get it turned around this fast. But I was expecting somewhere like 2025, 2026 in that realm. But looks like they're about to hit the pedal to the floor on it.
Federico, what do you think of the change?
I love it. I'm very excited. Tiana is my favorite princess. The movie is my favorite. And I think the music is going to be so good for the attraction. I'm very excited about it. I have no problem with the change of theming. I love Splash Mountain. It's my favorite attraction. But I think it's going to be for the better.
Anybody disagree with that?
No.
Because I'm excited about it. I'll be honest with you. Not... for any other reason, then I think it's good to refresh these attractions. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, we're refreshing...
Haunted Mansion.
No, well, God forbid. But when they refreshed in Epcot, Figment...
Journey into Imagination.
I'm sorry, I lost the name.
It was a death...
That was, you know, that's an example of what not to do. Let's hope they don't do that with Splash Mountain. But I think it's good to refresh these things and make these changes. And I think it's also, you know, and I'm not going down this rabbit hole with you people. you know, it's Disney being woke. I think it's Disney listening. I think it's Disney listening and trying to be as inclusive of everyone as possible.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that's a bad thing.
Mm-mm.
And I'm tired of it being treated like it's a bad thing. We need more inclusiveness, inclusion, mm-hmm. In the world, not less.
I also hear a lot of pushback about the theming. How are they going to theme it to the... It's Disney. We accept a 5-foot mouse. They're going to find a way to fit New Orleans into Frontierland in a way that's acceptable, I believe.
And hopefully beignets will come.
Oh, beignets
with that theming. I am hoping. And mint juleps. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Lady Julep will be in her glory.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very, very happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mint julep and a beignet as we go down the bayou.
There you go.
Rhino literally has a parasol that says the Lady Julep.
I took it out of my closet yesterday, actually. It's funny. Yeah. I
literally. Are you dusting it off? Yeah. Getting
well,
it
I was like, it's a hot day.
I might need a parasol.
Yeah. One needs to hide from this harmful sun.
That's right.
If one wants to continue to look young.
Yep. Representation matters, Pete. I mean, it does. Sorry. You're checking your. Yeah,
I was checking my crow's feet,
right,
but the Botox takes care of that.
Oh,
the scotch tape fell off before I got into the house today for me. It doesn't hold in the humidity.
Oh, dear. These are the problems we have. But yeah, no, like what you were saying, Pete, representation matters. And I think it's going to be a really neat thing to have Tiana and all of her friends in that mountain. I know a lot of people are like, ugh, with the name. Why isn't it? Because the idea of it being a mountain, because it's a Disney mountain,
what's
has now been
I'm
lost.
Sorry.
It's Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
I mean, where I'm from, 50 feet dropping down also is not a mountain. That's a hill.
Yes, so, absolutely.
So Splash Mountain, you know, kind of a mountain, mm-hmm. whatever. It's a hill. It's a giant hill
it's
that
a
you
log
go
in the
down.
Bayou.
So we can.
But we're not, let's be honest. I mean, historically speaking, we are not a people that embrace change. You know?
We've got to start embracing change.
Well, what happens is it's the same thing every time. And I'm guilty of it. I'm not accusing anybody of doing something that I don't do as well. I crack the joke all the time. I never let go of anything that doesn't have claw marks all over it. But. You know, oh, I hate it. And then we get used to it, and then they change that, and we're upset that, you know, Wishes is a great example. Illuminations, a great example. Now I'm starting, you know, when they brought in...
Harmonious. Oh, Epcot Forever, and then Harmonious.
Harmonious.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody hated Harmonious.
Yes.
Now, slowly but surely, I'm starting to hear people, oh, I love Harmonious. I'm like,
I also think that representation and inclusivity is more important than a name.
Mm.
And we have to keep that in mind. Like, you don't like the name? Well, this is not the reason why they're doing that. It's not about the name. It's about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And fans are going to make up their own name. Yeah.
True.
Fans are first going to pick it apart, but they're also going to call it whatever because, you know, I worked at Test Track for that little bit of time and I wanted to bang my head against the wall every single time someone walked up saying, is this the fast track? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And granted, that's not the fans. That's just confused people. But people are just going to call it Tiana's or they're going to call it Princess and the Frog. Do you want to go ride Princess and the Frog?
Yep.
Who? It's like, I don't hear people walking around saying, we really must go try to ride Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind.
No, it's Guardians.
Do you want to go do Guardians over at Universal? No one says, do you want to try to ride Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure? Do you want to go ride Hagrid's? So it's the name. Yeah. What? It's a name. Call it whatever you want. It's going to be in the same ride track that has always been there with a different story. Yes, I know a lot of people love the characters inside. They love the music. That part will be changing, but the ride at its core, if you like that final drop, if you like the little going down and back up, and you get that funny feeling in your tummy when that happens, that's all still going to be there. They're going to still have that stuff. It's just going to be a little different. So I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited. It's being on the Wish. I hate saying the Wish over and over again, but like it took me by surprise that in the Seize the Adventure show that we watched. Mm-hmm. So spoilers for a second if you don't want to hear it, but a big part of the show features Princess and the Frog.
It was like the best part of the show.
Number. So it, they are embracing this movie more and more as it went on. Like in The Wonder, when they redid the Tiana's restaurant and then also the bar, like, and even on The Wish, you have the Bayou. So it's Tiana's not going anywhere. So it makes sense that they need her in the parks even more, too.
Very interesting, too, that the ride is taking place as a sequel, like as the continuation of the story. What are they going to do with that? Like, are we still going to have Dr. Facilier or...
Oh, he's gone.
Is Mama Odie there?
He and
there?
His cards.
No, I need him. And what? And the music, is it going to be new music? Because that music is done already and it's a continuation of the story? I'm interested.
I mean, Frozen is like that. It's not... It's based... Isn't it based on one of the shorts or something? But it's like a continued story that's not in the movies.
Right, right. But at least they use the old music. So maybe they'll do that with Tiana. You're right.
I don't need Facilier. He's already in enough places.
Not a favorite
I don't like. Oh, I love him.
I would love limbs. As you're going up
the cards.
Are
the
you
cards.
Ready? Are you ready? As you're going up the chain.
Oh my gosh, no!
See, I would rather have like gospel music would dig a little deeper. Like as you're going up and
tambourines okay, are playing.
I need a Mama Odie animatronic.
And once you get to the, she's just standing in the top with a big pot of gumbo and opening on the side.
Don't matter what you.
I'm going to let you guys talk amongst yourselves. I got to run to the bathroom.
Okay.
Cut to you, Ronnie.
Oh, hello.
Gotta dig a little.
I hope, I'm excited for what, for, like you already said, the beignets and the mint julep, but I hope this is a chance to kind of expand some dining options. I mean, specifically, I think it would, it works, I mean, it works perfectly at Disneyland. It's literally hugging the side of New Orleans Square, so it, it just, it goes in there so well. But I'm excited to see, like, if we'll get some, because, like, it's not just... There's Splash Mountain, and then there's, like, the gift shop, but that whole, like, little exit area and everything, I'll be really interested to see, like, maybe how they turn that maybe into, like, a little bayou with, like, some cute little, you know, you hold some frog chirping. Do frogs chirp?
No, I believe they ribbit.
They ribbit.
I just watched Family Feud. It was, I believe, the celebrity one
Richard
the other
Branson?
Night, and it was, one of the questions was, what is, like, what do you most represent with a frog? And it was, like, ribbit, jump, two answers.
Tongue.
Just saying.
Was tongue one of them? Tongue.
No. 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 But I would eat frog legs in the park.
Oh, my word.
Oh, God, girl. You want mass-produced...
Can't ride Princess and the Frog and then eat a frog.
And mass-produced frog legs at a quick service?
I'd be fine with it.
Okay, so what's the Muppet movie with the frog where he eats the frog
legs?
The original Muppet movie. Doc Hopper.
Yes, All Frogs Go to Heaven.
Oh my gosh.
Because Craig's eating Kermit's legs? All frogs go to heaven? No? Is that the chirping I hear? The crickets right now?
Okay. Have you not? Wait, you haven't actually watched the Muppet movie, right?
Don't tell people that.
I believe that was established on the show, which is why we said we were going to do a Patreon show.
We're going to do a Muppet podcast,
Oh my gosh.
Right. And we're going
to
call it
You Need to.
Puppets and Muppets. I don't know what we'll call it. We'll have to figure it out.
Yeah, no frog legs in the park. I would be okay with beignets. I would be a good cup of chicory coffee. That would be great. If they turn that into kind of like a little cafe.
So, Danny, actually, Craig has given me an idea. Maybe we turn the Muppet podcast into like a Hot Ones, and it's just us trying to get through frog legs, but with all the hot sauces. Every episode.
Oh, my.
Although I do like your coffee idea.
Thank you.
I do, even though I don't drink coffee, but I'll allow it.
Yeah. Thank you.
The only thing I don't want gumbo or jambalaya in Princess and the Frog restaurant. It's just too hot in Florida. It's too hot.
You'd just be sweating over
it's
your 100 bowl of
degrees
jambalaya.
And I'm adding extra Tabasco on top of the jambalaya just because I'm like, it's not spicy enough for me and breaking out into sweats.
Well, we need a review
if it
does happen.
Yeah, well, no.
I will.
You'll be long gone, Denny.
I will be watching.
Thanks for leaving.
So, what's going on in the chat room? Anything good?
I don't want to say no because that would be insulting the chat room.
I'll
but
say it.
what'd you say?
I said I'll say it. No.
I mean, there's a little bit. They're going to catch up. Once we mention the chat room, all these monsters come alive. So they'll pop up at some point in time here. Let me look at the site. Maybe there's something else we could talk about.
Can I just give a shout out to the... Oh, Craig.
Your shout out days are over, my lady.
I'm sorry. No. Oh, stop.
Cut the mic.
I'll just sit over here in the corner. No, I want to give a shout out to Gideon's, and their Stuart Valencia cookie is back. They're orange. It's got candy.
Oh, is it good?
Oh my gosh, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's got pralines on top, crumbled pralines. It's got their chocolate chips and their sea salt. And it's got candied orange peel. It's their vanilla bean cookie base that's been citrus infused. It is my favorite of their
cookies.
It's like
torch of the diabetic.
Oh, Pete.
How are you thin? It's describing amazing. A cookie like that, you have no right
walk.
To be thin.
I walk in the morning.
You've also never seen her eat. She does. It's, well, you did, but
I eat it all.
Yeah,
eventually.
But she eats it like a squirrel. So it's like, you know, it takes her 4 days to finish a cookie.
Okay. That cookie's so her meal for this month.
That's right. Exactly.
Little
right.
tiny bites.
You all hork your food down. I like to savor the experience. This is just the way it is. But I do want to give a shout out because Flavors of Florida is back. Erica wrote an article on it when they announced it last week. So if you're at Disney Springs, keep an eye out because there's lots of different, there's like a little special menu, different offerings that you know, Gideon's and Everglades.
See, my favorite places at Disney Springs have virtually nothing to do with food. It's like.
What? Oh, shopping.
Shopping.
Yes.
Shopping.
Yes.
Shore.
Yes.
The Shore store. I cute. Love that mm-hmm. stuff is so nice.
Super
and
cute.
It lasts. Joe Malone, the colognes, mm-hmm. the cologne
oh,
store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some great colognes. What about you? What are your favorites? That,
no, food, of course.
Good. Yay, Betty. Good.
Oh, it's the skinny people. The skinny people.
Oh, please. But so if you're going to be there in the next month, definitely check out.
All right. Favorite
that
place
menu.
To eat at Disney Springs?
Morimoto mm-hmm. and Polite Pig.
Oh, Polite Pig is what?
I gotta take you. You know what? I gotta take you to Ravenous Pig up in Winter Park.
Oh yeah,
that's the sister restaurant to Polite Pig. That just got a nice
a review on
got a nice
Michelin
little
Michelin.
Yeah, got a nice little nod from Michelin.
And it's funny because it's funny that you say that Polite Pig. I was mm-hmm. just there the other day. Has the printout of the Michelin. They only got recommended,
right?
So, but they've got they're very proud of it. They've got it printed out and posted in a plaque. There they are in
really?
The list. Yes.
Well,
so
it's a big deal.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
To even be mentioned by Michelin.
Well, people are going all the way back because chefs are not interested in Michelin mm-hmm. recommendations anymore because it ruined the experience. Like
ooh.
Too many people, they can handle it. They can keep up with the quality. So some of them are just like, nope, we don't want to be here.
Interesting.
But this is the first time in
yeah,
Florida,
I've heard that.
So maybe that's why.
Craig.
Looked like I had something to say.
Have you tried the coffee at Gideon's?
Say it again?
Have you tried the coffee at Gideon's?
I've not. I've heard it is amazing.
That's what I've
my
heard. We need to do
really
a review. The iced coffee that I mm-hmm. see people
I've had it.
The
is
peanut
it
butter?
The guy who doesn't drink coffee in the
yeah,
back of the room
real.
Has had it. It's because it's liquid peanut butter. It's like a peanut butter cold brew thing, and it is actually very good.
Okay,
that I have to have.
Yeah.
Oh,
it,
Pete, I'm telling you, I think you'll really like it.
Let's do
it's
a
very
review
good.
On mm-hmm. that. Is it only peanut butter that they... Or is
no,
that
a- so I know that when they had the banana bread cookie, which I believe is also back
oh.
temporarily,
yes.
is they were doing a banana bread cold brew as well. I didn't have that one, but my friend Jill did, and she like went back for it like 5 or 6 times. Like she loves it.
Yeah, doesn't it take like 7.5 hours to get in that place?
It's been a little more manageable, I feel like, depending on what time of you... The day you go, I would always recommend going earlier in the day because it seems like that's when there's a lot less people and if you get stuck in a line.
And it's a virtual queue, right?
It
only
was.
When it has to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it runs super often anymore.
Every time I go, it's on virtual queue. But I'm usually there later in the day.
Okay.
And as I walk up, they're like, yeah, it's virtual queue. And we're unfortunately full for the night. So that's been the last
yeah.
3 times. I tried to
it
go.
It was
so.
Mobbed on Saturday. Mobbed. So mm-hmm. like you gotta, yeah. The East End Market,
like a Wednesday morning, is your best bet.
Yeah, sure. But you should go to the. You live closer to the East End one, which is the original one. You can walk mm-hmm. into that one now.
It's
you, like
wonderful.
You can do pre-orders, but literally you wait maybe like 15.
I didn't realize there was another one.
It's the original. Yeah, they don't have the cold brew though. That's exclusive to Disney Springs.
Well, no, I have to go for the cold
yeah,
brew.
You do.
Yeah, yeah. And they have a special Flavors of Florida cold brew, the orange. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's orange and chocolate. And, yeah,
oh, yeah for
you
research.
May want to.
I don't know if
research.
I want orange coffee.
Yeah, orange mocha nitro cold brew.
No.
See, I'm down
orange mocha
with that.
Nitro
I said
cold
that about
brew.
That's it.
and you taste the peanut butter one, and you go, oh.
The peanut butter one, I'm willing to try that. But orange?
Oh, yeah.
Are
and
you
a cake.
Talking about
they
coffee?
Have a matching cake.
Coffee, yeah.
With, no, why? I'm Colombian, and I never.
Says the Colombian.
Well, do you have
cocaine?
Have you ever had coffee with lemon in it?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
See, I know.
We just do coffee with water. Like
just what? Yeah. Just give me coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Milk. So if you're.
Oh. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, you gotta have milk. Where'd you have lemony coffee?
At a lot of coffee shops.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll do coffee and lemon together. It's actually surprisingly not too strange. I mean, it does have the bitterness and sourness of the lemon, but it works really well with black coffee.
Speaking of lemons, do you want to talk about the Pete Werner drink that was created?
Oh, go ahead.
Pete loves Coke Zero, and I get light lemonade all the time. So I said, why don't you put some of the light lemonade into the Coke Zero? So he had the guy give him a half and half, like a Arnold Palmer. But this is half light lemonade, still sugar-free, half Coke Zero.
It was so good.
Oh, good.
It was so good.
I miss the days when they used to make lemon Coke. Do you remember that? It was like that was the first one. I feel like
I thought it was Pepsi.
Yes.
I don't remember who did it, but I remember it was like in the late 90s or something like that. And then they started doing all the other flavors.
Well,
but
back in the 70s,
they got rid of lemon.
Pepsi had a lemon Pepsi.
Yeah.
I remember. I don't remember lemon Coke.
So let's make the Pete Werner a thing. When they order a Pete Werner, it's half lemonade, half Coke Zero.
Okay.
I'm running a poll right now. Coffee and fruit together. Asking people yes or no. So we'll find out the answer in just a short bit.
Well,
great.
The answer is no. I don't need a poll to tell me that.
I screwed up the poll. I wrote yes or now. And
right now.
Most people are asking for it right now. In this current second. We'll never know about the answer, no. But I'm having way too much fun with the polls now.
You can do polls.
Is that in the chat room?
Yeah.
In the chat room?
Yeah, in the chat room. So right now I said coffee and fruit question.
Voices went up like 9 octaves.
Yeah, that's how you know.
In the chat room?
Yeah. So 184 votes in, 71% say they want fruit in their coffee now.
Really?
Okay.
No, that's a no.
I love that.
What is the matter with you? No. Stop it. Stop it.
There's only 28% that say yes.
No.
But now is no. So they're saying
now is no. They're agreeing with
you.
I don't agree with them. I got to find a new question to ask them.
What kind of damage is required to put fruit in coffee? What kind of childhood did you have?
I don't know. No,
I could see maybe
had,
like strawberry coffee, something, but that's
yeah. Yeah,
I would totally drink the Gideon's cold brew with orange.
Yeah, I can't say I've had orange, but I've had like. I've had coffee with like blueberry and blackberry and a lot of berry flavor ones.
There's several of the Joffrey's flavors that they've created for the restaurants at Disney World have berry notes in it.
Having notes is one thing.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
Putting lemon in black coffee?
Well, that's what you have to do when your coffee is not good, so it doesn't have notes, and you put the fruit in it.
Okay.
Trying to
mask
the flavor.
And I'm going to tell you something. Every time Federico comes up to the States, he brings coffee with him for me, and it is the best. Best coffee.
I can bring you. He's like, what?
The Panda's like, where's mine?
I didn't get no coffee.
You're so New York. I ain't getting no coffee.
Where's a coffee?
And you got to spell it right. K-A-W-F-E-E. Coffee. I want some coffee. But, all right. I think we've...
I kind of want to ask them one more question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We just debate
just
it. What's a good one? What's a good one?
Pineapple on pizza.
Hazelnut.
No.
Hazelnut
that has
goes
nothing to do with Disney. Neither does coffee and fruit. But
they sell pizza
apparently
at Disney.
Apparently it does.
That is true.
They make an orange nitro cold brew,
that's
whatever.
True. Yep.
That is true. Do we have a Disney question? Do we have a Disney
question? I mean, Disney restaurant, Disney places put pineapple on pizza.
Disney pizza.
Okay, pineapple. We'll do okay, here we go.
Oh, we're no, ask this question. Okay. Ask this question. Is Disney pizza any good?
Is Disney pizza any good? I know this is a hard one, though, because you know, obviously something like Pizza Ponte is good, yes, but something like
generally
people
speaking,
love the Annapolis.
Generally speaking, is Disney pizza any good?
That's a hard question.
No, okay, it's not. It's a very easy question. Okay.
It's the location. You can get horrible pizza, and you can get great pizza.
Okay, the three options are yes, no, some is great, some is bad.
What about now?
Okay, I'm going to vote.
And now. Okay, okay. This is so much easier than other things we've done in the past.
Wow.
Having fun.
What an all-inclusive sentence that was.
Oh my God, I just saw our thumbnail for this show. It's extremely
scary. What did you say? What an all-inclusive sentence
that
was.
Yeah, he just is like, this is so much easier than some other things we've done in life. Like puberty.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. Puberty was fine for me. But.
Well, you hear my voice. It clearly hasn't taken very well to me, so it's fine.
Okay, right now we're up to 400 votes already, and jeez, we're going at 49% are saying some is great, some is bad, 43% no, and only 7% yes.
Okay, oh, so I want to talk to the 7%. What? What? Really? I want you right now, the 7%, you're a group now. Okay? You're bound together in brotherhood. You're the 7%. I want you all to get on the plane right now, go to New York, get a slice of pizza, and then come back and take that vote again. Take that vote again. Or go to Chicago.
Or to Italy.
Or to Italy.
Detroit has good pizza as well.
Does it?
Yes.
It's a different style, too, I've recently tasted, and it was surprisingly very good. Yeah. Also, Massachusetts. I feel like we've got good pizza.
You know what was surprisingly good pizza on the Wish?
Yeah, that was very good.
Yeah. Oh, the Daisy's pizza?
Yeah. That thin crust pizza?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it very briefly on our Off the Rails recording as we were giving Denny recommendations. Mm-hmm. It's completely different than all the other pizza on the different Disney ships. So that was a good change.
I had
good change.
Prosciutto pizza. I thought I was like... top, you know, living the life.
And that barbecue?
Living that prosciutto life. Yeah.
And the barbecue?
Oh, yeah, that was good, too. My God.
I know.
Dangerously close to a review.
We're on the border edge of it, but with lunches, it always felt like you go to the buffet, or, you know, maybe you sit down if it looks good for you, and the really bad backup is doing the quick dining, just like, yeah, I didn't really like the buffet, so I'll get chicken tenders. And I think they are at least making a good argument to switch that style up. Wow. So it's very interesting to see.
That's cool.
But that's,
I can't wait.
Hands off now. Okay. We're at 570 votes here, and 47% say some is great, some is bad. 46 say no, and still stuck at 7% for yes. So the some is great, some is bad. I think
everyone mock the 7%. Mock them. And while you do that, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up because we have a long Patreon after show to get to, and I've got to get to the Grand Floridian with Mom tonight. So that is going to do it for this week's episode of our show, folks. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you again next week with another episode of The Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, and remember, stay out of the damn lakes and stop voting for that pizza.